Well, Greg, here we are at the Li-Fi World Congress. We're with Dr. David Pasig, and we're discussing, he's a futurist, and we're discussing the implications of Li-Fi, but also I think we're going to get off on a few tangents. We listened to your presentation this morning, Dr. Pasig, and it was very fascinating. So we might go down a few wild roads here on the Get a Grip on Learning podcast. This show is sponsored by Keystone Technologies, Greg. Go to KEYSTONETECH.com.
The Retrofit Kings. You can find all the lighting products you need, not Li-Fi at this point, but who knows in the future. And that's what we're talking about today is the future. So let's dive into it.
Sure. Welcome to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast, Dr. Pasig. Is that the right way to call you, doctor?
Yes. No, that's okay. You can call me David.
David, okay. So I was listening to your presentation this morning, and you threw out some pretty wild terms. And I'm just going to call up my notes here, but why does the technology that's going to become sentient or conscious, why does it need humans at all?
Well, it's our creation at the beginning. At the end, it will be, you know, autonomous without us.
Yes.
It will have its own existence, and we will be part of it. But at the beginning, it's like, you know, our offsprings. It's our kids. We bring them to this world. We raise them at the beginning. At the end, they teach us.
Well, you know, Marshall McLuhan, I think it was him that said that we become what we behold. First, we shape technology, then technology shapes us.
That's right.
I don't know if it was him. I think it was him that said that.
Okay.
But you know, how is it that, you know, you're taking a look, you said 2040, we're going to have a device that's going to match the human mind. And then by 2060, we're going to have a device that is as powerful as all human consciousness put
the
together.
Computing power.
But how do you measure brain power in terms of computing power? It's not a computer,
well,
is it?
It is. What is it? It's called, the term is MIPS, millions of instructions per second.
Okay.
That costs $1,000. That's the term. That's, you know, it's a measure.
Right.
So we know that we are developing computers that are being able to do those billions of computing, activities in a second. So we can measure it. And we know that, you know, in about... This is actually an idea that was developed by Ray Kurzweil. He's speaking about 2060. Some are speaking that it will be even earlier, 2050.
Hmm.
But this is where we're heading. This is what...
Is this, like, you speak about it like it's a confirmed manifest destiny for the human race to
yes.
go here.
Yes.
Like, it's not a question.
It's not a question. We're developing tools that will surpass our abilities. Some of our abilities, not all of our abilities.
Hmm.
And we are going to incorporate those abilities into, you know, into our existence in their first, let's say, stage of evolution. At the end, they'll have they'll be autonomous to develop themselves, to continue in interaction with humanity.
But why do they have to interact with us at all? Like, it's so human-centric. You're saying.
No, on the contrary, it's not human-centric. It says that humanity is another stage of evolution. It's not the ultimate stage of evolution. So, and we are, the intelligence that was developed within the human species is constantly evolving and is constantly spreading itself into outward. Into our, you know, in the next phase, we're going to spread that intelligence into our things.
Hmm.
But at the end, everything will be intelligent. Everything. The intelligence, consciousness, not just intelligence. Consciousness is a higher level of intelligence.
For sure.
So at the end, the world is going to be conscious of itself.
Will you need
everything?
Will you need continuous service everywhere you go then to be conscious? I relate it to the internet. Are you going to need internet access everywhere? Are we going to have it everywhere? Or how is it going to be deployed?
Everything is going to be connected.
Okay.
Okay. And we are at the stage in which we develop the platforms on which we will deliver that connectivity. Okay. At the end, the goal is not the connectivity itself. The purpose of everything we're doing is to enhance intelligence, at the beginning to enhance our intelligence. Okay, I'm having an iWatch. There's a lot of data here. Okay, it enhances my intelligence by being aware the pattern of my sleep, for example. Mm-hmm. Okay, it enhances my awareness to myself. Mm-hmm. At the end, it enhances my understanding of myself, and then my consciousness is enlarged. Okay, that's the first stage. It's not the ultimate stage. Now, my intelligence spreads itself. At this point in evolution, we do it with our kids. We spread our intelligence to our kids. Mm-hmm. Okay? But that's not the end. The end is that everything will be intelligent. Our tables, our walls, our watches, everything.
You know, what if it already is?
It's not sentient and it's not conscious.
Yeah, I mean, what if the Earth already is sentient?
That's the idea of the Gaia.
Yes, okay? like a god kind of idea.
It's
like
not a god. It's Gaia. It's an ecosystem that is aware that it needs to constantly continue its survival and evolve.
Sure.
How conscious it is, I'm not sure it's conscious like you and me are conscious.
Okay? Or like ants are conscious.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they may look at us like ants.
Exactly. Okay? Or like dogs.
Yes.
Okay? But at the end, consciousness is constantly evolving on this planet. And then it will spread itself outward to the universe.
But that's...
Now, this is a journey of billions of years. We are just at its very beginning.
This is kind of like, you know, Eve eating the apple in a way, what we're talking about.
Yes.
You understand what I mean?
Yes.
There's like a mythology to all this that you addressed.
Yeah.
You're weaving like a story of science and mythology and destiny and fate all in together.
Exactly. We're trying to understand our existence in this universe.
Are we ever going to understand it?
Never.
Right.
It's why do we keep trying? Great. It's a tool with which we continue evolve.
Okay.
It's a tool with which we make sense of our surrounding and make use of whatever we find in our surrounding and better use.
Mm.
Okay? So, you know, we can, the only thing we cannot turn off is our mind. You can turn off your eyes,
sure.
your mm-hmm. senses. You cannot turn off your mind. We are constantly thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking even when we are sleeping. We are constantly conceiving things, understanding, processing a lot of things in order to make sense. Making sense is actually what characterizes consciousness. Make sense of myself. A kid of 2 years old doesn't make sense of himself or herself. Okay? He's just acting.
I think there's a lot of adults that don't make sense of themselves.
That's another issue.
No, I'm serious. Like if you think about, if you start putting this hat on of existential thought, thinking about the universe, the idea that you're part of some chrysalis that's giving birth to this artificial intelligence and that's what we're here to do as a species is to give birth to this greater intelligence.
Exactly.
Maybe that's what we're here to do.
Yeah.
Right? And we're doing it together without even knowing that we're doing it. Like a butterfly,
exactly.
A mole weaving a chrysalis or whatever.
Exactly.
In a sense, and out comes the butterfly. But I think that most people don't ever enter this thought process. They never get into that place where they're thinking about I don't even think most leaders in the world do when they're talking about climate change and that, like, you're talking about very high level ideas that most people,
you're right,
don't think about or
you're
won't
right,
think
but
about.
Think about it that a century ago, very few people were able to think those kind of thoughts. Nowadays, it's not just, you know,
your science fiction writers thought those kind of thoughts.
Science,
H.G. Wells.
Exactly. They were thinking about those ideas and they brought it into the masses with the new genre, which is science fiction.
Sure.
But nowadays, it's within the scientific endeavor itself, mm-hmm. not the science fiction endeavor. You know, speaking nowadays about quantum computing, it's science fiction.
Sure.
Just, you know, a few decades ago. So nowadays, those ideas are spread across a lot of audiences, and it's growing constantly. Now, a century from now, it will be much more, you know, common thinking. A millennia from now, it will be probably, you know, the mainstream. It's like nowadays, a human being is a very different human being than a millennia ago. A millennia ago, that human being, the average human being, used just to, you know, struggle to have a few grains for food.
Make a bread
every day.
Yeah.
That's it. And that was a great struggle. There were here and there some amazing people that, you know, were thinking and they were the link in history through which we progressed, through those amazing people. But the masses, most of us, were les miserables. Really miserable.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
That's the Lockean idea.
Exactly.
Thomas Locke.
Exactly. So nowadays...
Hobbes. Was it Hobbes? I said life is miserable, short for most people, whatever it is.
Exactly.
And brutal.
Brutal.
Yeah.
And cruel.
Yeah, for sure.
And cruel. Nowadays, the masses are living like kings.
For sure. Yeah. Like if we went back to the steps of the Parthenon and you told Socrates, I have in my hand a device which holds all of human knowledge on it.
Exactly.
And, you know, people that live in poverty...
He will faint.
Yeah, he will
faint. Immediately.
So there's kind of like there's two ways to look at this. You have the Steven Pinker way, which is like everything's positive, everything's getting better.
I didn't say that.
No, okay. And then that people take an optimist view.
Okay, optimist view is better.
And then Kurzweil, which is the negative view.
Kurzweil is not negative.
Isn't he about the singularity? No?
The singularity is not negative, on the contrary. This is a new kind of thinking of transhumanism. Humanism is evolving.
That's very negative to me.
That's
transhumanism is very negative to me.
Well, it has some, it resonates to some people as negative.
Mm-hmm.
But we are evolving. This is not the ultimate thing.
This is the ultimate right here.
You think so? Well, maybe I'm not the ultimate thing. Really, let me just stress one point. In the last 50 years, half a century,
sure,
the IQ has been augmented worldwide on average by 17 points. 17%.
Wow.
It is measured, it's called now the Flynn effect.
Okay? The Flynn effect.
The Flynn effect. It's named after the person that discovered it or measured it, Flynn, Professor Flynn from New Zealand.
Okay.
So we know that something is really evolving. The species, humanity is evolving. Its IQ is evolving. Its EQ is not exactly evolving at the same pace. But still, we are struggling constantly to be better, to be smarter, to be healthier, to be entertained better. You know, take a look. If you look at a film, a movie, that was done 30 years ago, and it was a sensation at the time. If you look at that movie nowadays, it will look like so pale,
Terminator 2 is an example of that. Terminator 2, remember when that movie came out, it was like, whoa.
it looks so slow. Come on, the plot is so primitive.
Yeah.
Come on, nowadays our mind is really working so fast and needs very complicated plots and can grasp very sophisticated
ideas.
So
you're saying people are getting smarter.
Exactly. Hold on. Not the masses.
Okay.
Not all of us.
Okay.
A lot of the masses are getting dumber.
Yes.
Okay? That's because, you know, there are potato...
Like if you look at rates of democratic participation, that's a sign of intelligence to me. If you don't participate in your election, you're an idiot.
Exactly. You have a tool you're not using.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, but still, you know, in history, there were here and there few people that did amazing things and kept the humanity evolving.
Mm-hmm.
Now, large chunks of humanity are doing amazing things.
Yes, okay.
And they have...
Some of them are doing evil things, though, too.
That's right. Like any evolution, there are, you know, some negative aspects of evolution.
Sure.
The more we grow, the more we die.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. So, you know, nothing is either good or bad.
So do we even look at this in terms of good or bad? Is that even the right way to look at it?
No.
It's not.
The right way to look at it is that we are evolving to be a different species. Our kids are already a different species. Now, we are called the Homo sapiens sapiens.
Yeah.
In evolution. Homo sapiens was, you know, occurred about 170,000 years
sure.
back. Okay. The Homo sapiens sapiens between 10,000 years to something.
Maybe 100, yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Okay. We are already on another phase in which our kids are much smarter. We are measuring it right now. They're going to live longer than mm-hmm. our generation. The kids that are being born now, they will live 100 and 120 and 30 years on average. It's a very different species. They will be accumulating knowledge in their lifetime that we can't even imagine. Okay, they will have very active and very creative large chunks of their life cycle. Life cycle of the average person nowadays, we have about 40 years of creative,
you know, energy. Yeah.
Energy.
Sure.
Okay. Our kids will have 80 years of creative.
Double.
What will they do in those years? What kind of experience they will accumulate? What kind of knowledge they will accumulate? What kind of ideas they will generate? This is evolution. And they will do a lot of mistakes. We are also doing a lot of mistakes. But generally speaking, we are smarter. We are healthier. We are better in life. We eat and we calculate our calories.
Sure.
Just a century ago, people were starving.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
The biggest problem in, I'm Canadian, the biggest problem in Canada.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, nobody is perfect.
That's okay. The biggest problem with people that live in poverty in Canada is that they're overweight. Like, think about it. It's a miracle.
Yes. Exactly, like, the opposite for millennia.
Yeah.
That's right.
Like, that's a miracle.
Exactly.
What is this new species called?
Some people call it the Homo universalis.
Okay.
Some other people call it Homo destructis.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
You see, but I don't know how they are going to be named, but they are going to be different. Huh. And they will be saying that species has evolved at the end of the 20th century, the beginning of the 21st century.
You're in the you're living in Israel now.
Yes.
So do you know Yuval Noah Harari?
Noah Harari. Yes.
Do you know him personally?
Personally, yeah. He's a very transhumanist.
I know.
And you know, I'm not sure he's taking the ideas too far.
You think? I think so too.
Too far. And transhumanism actually says, you know, the bottom line is there is no need of religion. There is no need of gender. There is no need of nothing.
Yeah.
The only need is health and life forever. We will reach it in about 3-4 millennia.
Yeah.
Okay. Not in the 21st century. 21st century still has its calamities and problems.
Sure.
And then we are still, you know, very primitive.
Mm.
Very primitive. We are still struggling, and the conflicts are about ego and about infrastructures and resources. We are still very far from that idea of transhumanism.
Isn't that kind of going backwards against evolution? When you evolve, you become different and become your own person. Now you want us to be back to the same person?
What I would like to be is a very balanced species.
Okay.
With emotions, intelligence, communication that is balanced. The balance is the right, you know, term.
What is balance, though?
Balance?
I mean, like, balance.
Everything is nothing and nothing.
I take a deep breath. The world is balanced, right? Like, I mean, what is balance? It's like your relationship to the world being in harmony.
Harmony.
That's what you're referring to,
yes.
right? I don't know if we can ever achieve that.
No, it's an infinite
the
journey.
The tides come in and they go out, man.
Infinite journey.
Huh.
In infinite journey in space, in time. And we are just at its very
initial... We just realized we're in it.
Exactly. We just...
It's like fish figuring out they're in water.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we don't even understand what water is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because
that's what light is.
We don't even know.
That's what light is. Exactly. Light is water to fish. Like that's how we relate to light. Let me bring it back to light here for a second.
Yeah.
So on my show, I have a little bit of a meme, which is I call Wi-Fi the Matrix.
Okay.
You know the movie The Matrix? Green, blue, blue pill, red pill, right?
Okay.
So why, I think one of the things that is problematic when we discuss the technical side of Wi-Fi and the internet is that this idea of receiver, there needs to be a receiver. That's where I see the limit is. Once we get out of our heads that we're just going to be in the internet and maybe we already are in the internet already, it already exists around us. We just don't know how to connect to it yet. Like that's already there. And Wi-Fi to me is the first human technology that's tapping into the knowledge center of the universe. That there is, in the light, there is messages already. We are already in this internet. It's already here. This idea that the sun is merely a nuclear fission reactor sending these waves to us and that's all it is very rough heat and light and the sun rises and sets. I think there already is all the information in the universe is already there. We just have to connect to it.
We have to tap into it.
Exactly.
And understand
Wi-Fi is the first thing that shows me we can do that.
Wi-Fi is a platform through which we can connect ourselves to each other.
Yes.
Our things, which is much more important.
Sure.
Because connecting ourselves, we've been doing it already in millennia.
Sure.
Okay. Now we need to start connecting our devices to us and among themselves. Okay. So Wi-Fi, it's a platform through which we can start connecting things in a very smooth manner without, you know, projecting radio waves.
Yes.
Without causing a lot of noise in our surrounding, in our electromagnetic fields, etc., etc. But this is what evolution is. We are tapping into the natural platforms that exist already for eons, and we're using them to tap in a better way to our surrounding, to our creations, okay? Because nature is already connected.
For sure.
For sure.
Gravity, light, whatever.
Everything is connected.
Yes.
Now we have developed so many things around us.
Yes.
That we need to connect also to the universe and to us.
We have all this disconnected. It's almost like a Platonic theory. Like the theory of forms or whatever.
Yeah.
Like the perfect one exists, but the imperfect one is here, right? It's okay. Almost like the idea that we're actually able, if we can as a species, to connect. There's like I'm going to bring the word God into this.
Okay.
But if you believe in God or if you're a religious person, you're going back to that.
God is a myth, an amazing myth.
Okay.
That humanity has developed, either it's true or not, it doesn't matter now, that was the platform or the story through which we have evolved as a civilization.
Sure.
Through which we have developed ethics, through which we have developed institutions.
Sure.
Now, think about stories that we are constantly generating in our mind.
Sure.
In order to better continue develop the world.
This is like that archetype idea.
Archetype idea, exactly.
Right, that we live through archetypes. So we understand the world through archetypes.
Exactly.
Everybody likes this movie. They don't even know why they like Lord of the Rings, but because it checks all the archetype boxes.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
The hero myths and you know, the idea of Jesus is the perfect man or whatever.
And there is a very tricky line between real stuff and myth. And
well, it is real.
Everything
it's
just, is real.
It's real in a metaphysical sense.
Exactly. Everything is real.
Sure.
Any story we tell ourselves becomes ourselves.
Well, if you think about the story of Adam and Eve, it's such a brilliant story.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Exactly.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. Like exactly. You think about these monkeys eating the apple and exactly. The snake. The devil actually tells
and
us the truth.
The snake.
But he doesn't lie to Eve.
Exactly.
You see, that's the whole thing, is
exactly.
That God
pushes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We push her.
Yeah. It's really like the snake actually tells Eve the truth.
Yeah.
In a way. If you eat that fruit, you're going to be like God. You're going to be conscious.
Conscious. Exactly. And right. She likes it.
And she likes it. She gives it to her husband.
Her husband.
Right?
Exactly.
A beautiful story when you think about it.
A beautiful myth through which we have developed our institutions
sure.
From its their very basic, you know, stage yes. To economies, world trade.
It's crazy when you think about it.
You know, this is an amazing creation that our mind has created.
Yes.
Even think about our currency.
Oh, unbelievable. Like the idea of an American dollar having value
exactly.
Is mind-blowing.
A piece of paper. Mm-hmm. Through which we are communicating and we are sharing and we are evolving.
Yeah, that's just by fiat.
And now Bitcoin.
It's just because we... crazy. The idea that we can trust this financial institution to deliver us value
exactly.
On a regular... It's unbelievable, actually.
And now we are developing new ways that are decentralized, that will deliver value.
Do you think that's going to fly, that Bitcoin,
cryptocurrency? Bitcoin is just, you know, an anecdote.
Cryptocurrency, sure.
Cryptocurrency. Wow. This decentralized authority of value, which is another amazing idea that our consciousness is generating in order to connect things, and that things will be able to share value. Not just us sharing value.
Some of these ideas, like, you know, I don't know who was it. Was it Galileo or was it, what's that other guy? Copernicus. I can't remember who said the sun, the earth revolves around the sun. Was it Copernicus?
Yeah.
So you know, you have this idea. Imagine you go to the Pope and you say, look, dude, I'm going to tell you something. Sit down here for a second. Sit down. Okay. The earth revolves around the sun. And the guy's like, you're crazy. I see it every day.
Exactly.
Right? Now, do you actually know, Greg, that the earth revolves around the sun? You don't actually know that. You just believe that.
That's right.
Yeah,
right?
Well, nowadays we have tools to measure.
Somebody can prove that to you, but again, it'll just be paper, right? Or just be like a screen.
Exactly.
No, look at the paper. You didn't fly up there and see the sun, right?
Exactly.
So we believe these constructs in a way.
Yep.
The idea that the earth revolves around the sun is another kind of myth.
Paradigm.
Paradigm.
Nowadays, we're not using the word myth.
It's
we're using paradigm.
Yes.
Okay, light, as we understand it
is
another paradigm.
But think about this. Think about this. The idea that we're not the center of the universe. That was a huge realization for
exactly.
Us.
Exactly. That was a tipping
that's
point.
The Copernican that's the Copernican realization.
That's right.
That we're not the center of the universe.
That the myth I was speaking today about is exactly another kind of Copernicus, you know, myth.
Yes.
That says, look, our technologies are not here to serve us.
We're here to serve them.
We are here to bring them alive.
Yes.
To give them consciousness.
Yes. Yes.
In order for them to continue evolution, to interact with us and bring us also to another level of consciousness.
Yes.
And we are not the center of technology.
No.
Technology is not, you know, revolving around us, but the technology is our offspring.
It's so gross.
So we're
disgusting.
It sounds disgusting.
Yes.
But think about the idea.
Yes, I
that
get it.
We are able to generate such a thing, and because of that ability to generate such an idea,
yes.
We will be able to generate amazing technologies, as I told you about social IoT, that our Internet of Things will socialize.
But let me ask you this, though. What is consciousness? What is it?
Wow. I'm writing a book now about the future of consciousness.
But you don't even know what it is.
No, wow. I'm tracking how humanity perceived consciousness for millennia.
Yes.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And I see that there are very specific stages that we are going through. And our understanding of consciousness is itself evolving.
So, but so when you talk about artificial intelligence, okay, so back in the 60s when they started researching this, they thought they would have artificial intelligence within 10 years. It's always been right in front of us.
And that's because they were trying to mimic
yes
how the brain is working, and but we didn't even know how the
brain
is.
We still don't
working.
Know.
Of course.
Like the idea of perceiving
the
space.
But we know one thing.
What's that?
That's what's going to make a great advances in, okay. in science. We know that the most basic form of the human brain, of the human brain way of thinking, is perceiving patterns.
Yes.
Okay, and this is what we're going to do
pattern
in machine
recognition.
Learning.
Yes.
Pattern recognition.
Right, I know so that chair is not dangerous.
Exactly.
Because it's a pattern. It's in a pattern in my mind.
This is the yes. most basic characteristic of our mind. So now we are developing...
Or that is our mind. That's
no,
what it
no,
is.
Just one feature.
Okay.
That's one feature.
All right.
Okay, but it's a basic feature. That's what brought us up to here.
Yes.
Science is actually trying to figure out patterns and see how significant or reliable that pattern is.
Hmm.
That's reliability in science.
Sure.
Okay. Now, that with that reliability, we are trying now to develop algorithms that will be able to look into huge amount of data and
mine it
and mine the pattern that can be seen in that in those huge amounts,
which is
of
way
data.
Beyond any individual human's ability
exactly.
to master.
Our way of developing patterns is developing a pattern that will be able to look for other patterns.
Yes,
that's exactly the extension of consciousness.
So so let's say the AI that emerges, okay? Let's say, what do they call it? The singularity, Elon okay. Musk and all, summoning the dragon and all this okay. kind of stuff, right? So why this idea of receivership, humans are obsessed with this idea of making something and connecting to it, choosing to connect. If this is just an electromagnetic computer, right? My brain. It's an electromagnetic computer.
Let's assume.
Okay. Right. Why could it not just be connected to on its own?
To itself or
yeah,
to others?
No, to other. Like, why couldn't some sort of technology just connect to my brain?
No, very simple. We're doing it already. In
okay.
my lab, I'm developing what we call the brain-computer interface. We are just...
But wirelessly.
Wirelessly.
Yeah.
We are beaming our thoughts to a computer.
Yes.
And we are decoding... our thoughts.
Yes.
So we are at the stage in which we are just recording what's happening in our mind and
you know,
decoding what's in our mind.
You know you're a soulless bastard, eh? You know
yeah.
that, eh?
Oh, man. You see, we are just, it's like 100 years ago in the time in which we started recording our voices.
Sure.
Before that, our voice was... sacred.
Yes.
You are not to touch it.
No, yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, for a lot of people, our mind is a sacred place.
Yes.
Don't touch it. But we are starting to record it, to decode it, to transfer our thoughts
yes.
wirelessly to our things.
Mm-hmm.
In a matter of a century or two, we'll be able to communicate without speech.
So you're
or we'll be able to communicate things that we're not be able to communicate through speech.
But we already communicate with like
yes.
without
consciousness.
Speech. Yeah. Without consciousness too.
No,
yes.
We will have that ability in a conscious way.
Huh. So oh man. you're saying it doesn't even matter whether we desire this or not. It's emergent and that's
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Exactly. It's somehow embedded in our genes. That this is what we need to do.
Hmm.
And we will be doing some mistakes. And we'll pay the price for those mistakes.
Well, there is no mistakes.
There's no such a thing. Mistakes are a treasure.
I mean, not only that though, but the conception of it being a mistake.
You're right. You're right. If it's happening,
it's happening.
It's not a mistake.
Exactly.
You're right. But there are negative aspects.
No, in the human sense.
In the human sense, you're right. But, you know, in the cosmos.
They don't
it's get, not.
It doesn't matter.
You know, people think, you know, somebody died, it's horrible, but you don't know how that death is connecting other people and for something new to emerge from that connection because of, you know, a devastating accident or we don't sure. understand how things are entangled. But we are evolving to understand it. We are evolving to measure it. We are evolving to make sense of it.
But but that doesn't even matter anyway.
It is.
No, it doesn't.
Why?
Because it's just our role in it is as facilitator.
You're right. And that's being humble.
Well, I'm observing that. Yes. Let me get.
If you are really facilitator, just a facilitator, you act in a very humble way, personally, in whatever you're doing. If you think you are a creator, if you think you are
like unto God,
yeah, you are creating technologies to serve you.
Yes,
that's. The Babylon.
The Tower of Babel. Yeah, sure. You know what's interesting? Back to the biblical references. So you're raised as a Jewish?
I'm Jewish.
Okay. So do you know the book of Revelation?
Of course.
Okay. So in the end times, all will be revealed and recorded, right? It predicts in the book of Revelation that God will reveal everything. So there'll be no secrets. Well, everything will be recorded. Are we not manifesting that right now?
We are in an infinite journey towards that goal.
Yeah.
Infinite journey towards that goal. It's not going to happen in the 21st century.
Like you're talking about the collision of myth and technology becoming one.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what it is.
Exactly. It's like, you know, physics nowadays, it's spirituality.
Yeah, it's spirituality. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
It used to be mechanics.
Math. It used to be math.
Mechanics,
okay. Yeah.
It's not anymore. It's really the most sophisticated, spiritual, mythical ideas.
Yes.
Are embedded in entanglement of atoms.
Yeah,
single atoms are entangled in the universe.
It's at once sublime and beautiful at the same time.
Amazing.
Yes.
Now, we are evolving to conceive all those ideas, but we are just a very primitive species.
Yes.
1,000 years from now, it will be so different. They'll be looking at us. They will say, oh, these are Neanderthals.
Neanderthals, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Cavemen.
Cavemen.
Yeah.
Oh, they used to have an iPhone. Oh, my God, that will be, you know, laughing.
Yeah. Look, but you know what? They'll also, in the same way we do it, they'll go into caves and look at our beautiful paintings.
Yes.
And wonder what we thought.
Yes. It will be the internet archives.
Yes. And they'll look back at us and they'll be
selfies.
Like, yeah. No, but they'll look back at us with a kind of mysticism and awe, too, in a way.
Yes.
You know, there'll be something about this pack of humans between, say, 1950 and 2050 or, you know, yes. 2150, that those group of people underwent incredible amounts of change.
Yeah.
Right? Like you think about something like, you're talking, it's at once deconstructionist and constructionist at the same time. Like people are speaking about religion, not in a sense of whether they believe or don't believe in the religion. They're speaking about it in terms of its utilitarian mythical status. Right? And how do we replace the myth? Or what do we do to replace it? Like, that's the conversation.
Yeah.
Oh. It's not whether or not they're into it or not. It's like, wow, the Christianity was such an important thing to the universe and on our path. What do we do to replace the idea of Jesus Christ and the one that is the Redeemer is died and reborn? We need a new myth.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean?
We are storytellers. The more the story is complex, the more we are very mature.
Whew.
That's
Dr. David Pasig, thank you for being a guest on we didn't talk that much about lighting. We did a little bit.
Well, it's part of something much bigger.
I know.
But because really, light is just a scientific paradigm, the way we understand it right now.
Mm.
That paradigm was actually defined, you know, the velocity of light was defined only in 1983.
386,000 miles per second or whatever?
A little bit less. Oh, yeah. Okay. It was only in 1983. It was done here in Paris. A group of physicists convened together and they calculated, no, it's not more than 300,000 per second. It's a little bit less.
Yeah.
Okay. 50 years from now, we will have a different paradigm of light. For example, now the paradigm of light is that it's a constant, which means its velocity, it's all over the cosmos.
Yeah, like this. Yeah, I think that the idea that it's moving is the wrong idea.
Not only that, we know that light can be moving in different speeds in different places. Now, that's a different paradigm of light.
No, but the idea that it's even moving, I think the idea of motion is the wrong idea.
Okay. That's the idea. Is it particles or waves?
Yes.
Or is it together?
Yes.
Or what is it exactly? But it is there. It's doing things.
Or is it ones and zeros?
At this stage, that's how we
conceptualize
it. It's primitive.
Yes.
One and zero. Our genes are working on four, you know, different options: A, T, G, and C.
Yes.
And look what those four options has done.
Yes.
So, what is it going to be the paradigm of light 50 years from now? People will not believe it if I'll tell them that the way we will understand light will be different. We know that the way we understand light now is a primitive way to understand it. Now, just the way we understand light...
I think if you say this, something like, we are creatures of the light scientifically. Like if you think molding that spiritual thing together,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. If you just say we are creatures of the light, figure it out. That's what we are. I think
we're not creatures of the light. We are light.
We are light. Yes.
We are another form of light.
Yes.
And everything here is different forms of light. So, how is it that there are different forms of light? Can we measure those different things? Can we use those different ways to understand light, to communicate with each other, to build new platforms of communications? This is the journey we're going to go through in the 21st century. Li-Fi is just another step on a very long journey in space-time.
Dr. Pasek, thanks for being a guest on the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you for being here.
Shake your hand there.
Shake, shake, shake.
Thank you.
So, Greg, that's another show. Keystone Technologies. Go to KEYSTONETECH.com, KeystoneTech.com. And thanks to Dr. David Pasek for being a guest on the show.
Very much. Thank you.
Muchas gracias.
On the rectory wall, there's a sign there for all. If you are lost, the Lord is there to find you.